And hey, we're listening to the intro now. Hey, I don't know what the hell is going on here. I am broadcasting. There we are. Everybody can hear me now. Good afternoon.
Pay attention.
And once again, welcome to my awesome Saturday afternoon show. You're listening again to At the Table, which is slowly changing its name to the 5:23 Happy Hour with Kelly Lincoln. That's me. Because having a happy hour seems so much more fun than just sitting at a table, you know? With a happy hour, you can eat, drink, be merry, make a fool of yourself. Blither on, and talk about whatever the hell you want. Well, being at a table means that you have actually something structured and planned out, which I rarely do, as those of you who listen know, which is why it's always about, you know, as you know, well, you heard it before, so we're, you know, it's all about paying attention.
Pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy.
Exactly, you know, so it's like you just can't, you know, just sit around and wonder, what the hell am I going to say? What am I going to say? I don't know what I'm going to say. Oh my God, I'm so attention deficit. I don't have my outline done. Well, really, the show notes. I'm actually getting better at it, getting my show notes together here. So usually what I like to do is start off with telling you how my awesome week went, and it wasn't actually a good week for me. It's always been a good week for me because I'm like that. I'm a woman. I am. Hear me roar. Meow. My week in review. I usually go around and tell you what happened during the previous week, knowing how much this enthralls you, and I am signed up with a group called Boost Alley, and they help tech entrepreneurs, you know, with their businesses. And while I'm not technically a tech entrepreneur, I do offer, you know, my services for recording podcasts and voiceover narration for people. And so this week, I went to a business to business B2B pitch meeting where seven businesses from France, established businesses in France, all dealing with various aspects of the tech field, did a dry run rehearsal, give us some feedback on our presentations before they go up against the folks that they are going to be asking money for. And it was really interesting. While, like, you know, I'm not somebody who needs, you know, to up my fiber optic speed without having to lay new fiber optics or, you know, use algorithms to discern trades and, you know, all sorts of interesting things. What they had to say in forms of feedback, I found very useful. And I come from the school of criticism, where when you're listening to feedback for somebody else, you I listen to hear how I can use the information to better what I'm doing. This is something I discovered I started doing when I was while I was at the National Shakespeare Conservatory training, that I could listen to what the coaches were telling one of my fellow actors, and see how I could apply what they were being told to my performance, my work. Some people don't get that, but if you listen to what is being said, you'll find clues as to how you can improve what you are doing. It was also at that point in time that I realized that we don't hear criticism the same way that the person who's being criticized hears it. And that also made things very, very interesting for me, because that's how I, excuse me, discovered the art of listening to critique and applying it to my work. And so, like I said, there was all sorts of cool things being said, and about, I loved all the buzzwords like deployment and upscaling and scalability and one business's catchphrase or description of what their description of who they are, what they do, is relevant media content, delivered. I think the comma needs to go away, but I think it should be relevant media content delivered. But, it's sort of like the signs here in New York City from the MTA saying that they're improving daily. When they mean it, that's how it can be read. They're improving daily. The other thing I'm very sad about is that I had planned on attending the Byron Society's staged reading of Lord Byron's play Manfred, and as luck would have it, I overdrew my Technicant, so I couldn't go. And for the symposium, the next day I actually had a call, on-set call, so I couldn't go. But I was getting paid to be on set all day. Which made life so much more easier for me. And it's like really freaking hot here. I have the fan on in my room, and it's 86 degrees. It's actually hotter and warmer in my room than it is outside right now. And that's the joy of having a south-facing window in a seventh floor brick building in New York City. Yes, it's 75. It's 81 degrees right now here in New York City, and it's 85 degrees in my room according to the thermostat on my air conditioner / fan. So just hang on. I'm going to actually turn the air on. Well, I'm actually going to turn the humidifier on. That beep you heard was the humidifier. No, that beep you heard was me turning it off. I just turned the draw all the moisture out of the air part of the air conditioner on the dehumidifier, and it's a little bit more comfortable. What else is awesomely fun here? This last Sunday I met up with a whole bunch of friends of mine that I here in New York, and we all write on the same progressive blog site, Daily Coast. And we got together at our favorite place for brunch, and it's called Spitzer's Corner, and they do a really, really awesome brunch. And good time was had by all. I got a chance to catch up and see people I only get to see every so often, and find out what they're doing and meet new people. And it was, and just, generally hang out, not do anything too exertive. Although the MTA is working on the tracks, so everything was all disrupted. So I took a different route, and had a really it was a great day to walk here in New York last Sunday. The weather was beautiful. Walked from Broadway and 8th Avenue, which was a little bit. Which was one stop before I had planned to get off. I had planned to get off at Prince and walk. So, but, those few blocks didn't make a difference. in the time or the distance, but just walking across New York, just walking across the city from, you know, Astor Place, Cooper Union, was really nice. It was a beautiful day. Had my real camera with me, took photos, and, you know, just the only time I pulled my phone out was to check to make sure I was walking in the correct direction, because I have a tendency to walk in the wrong direction. And, not a tendency, but sometimes I mess with my own sense of direction. I like to say, mess with me, mess with my sense of direction. And I have been known to, like, you know, fulfill that promise to people that cheese me off. What did we talk about? We talked about gardening. And I live in a small space, and I would love to have, like, see about doing a container garden. But I have so much crap in this room that I really need to figure out where I can put it, because if I put it like in front of my south window, I won't be able to open it. It'll be a pain in the ass, and it's just when it's really, really difficult. I like having green things growing, not mold, but green things like plants. We'll see what we can see. I'm staring at my room right now. It is, and the counter, and I've got popcorn sitting in a couple of bowls, and oh man, there are the, I'm not a fan of gluten-free, and I think it's kind of dumb, but because a lot of people go gluten-free who don't have to, who's they have not been diagnosed with an issue that requires them to live wheat gluten-free. I need to emphasize that, because gluten isn't all grains. You have oat gluten, you have rice gluten, you have wheat gluten, you can't be gluten-free and eat sticky rice. What do you think sticks it together? The gluten, the glue, the rice glue. But there are these really, really awesome gluten-free crackers, and I am, like, freaking addicted to them. They're really, really good, and I hope you guys aren't, that humming is indeed the, into the air conditioner. And let me just do that. So Sunday brunches are always good. Had 3 Bloody Marys. I was so much fun. It was a lot of fun. And of course, being brain injured, and this is just something that always gets me. And I haven't quite figured out why, but expending a lot of energy, brain injury, energy, physical energy, I end up having to sleep for 2 days just to recuperate from that. And that is, like, the most horrible thing in the world, is that, now, I've said this before, everybody with a brain injury has different affects, things that get to them. For me, if I exhaust my poor little brain, I end up having to spend a couple of days in bed sleeping, because I just am just, like, non-functional. I'm non-functional. My brain doesn't function. My brain says sleep, so my body says, okay, when I sleep for, like, far too long. And And I'd like to find a way to overcome that. If anybody out there has any ideas, good ideas, not dumb ideas, and I'll be the one to decide if it's a dumb idea or not. Just send me your, tweet me your ideas at ATT Show, and let me know. Or you can, and I'm opening myself up for this one. You can also post them on my Facebook page. Which is facebook.com/masterlesspeople. I know. Oh, man, am I just ever opening myself up on that one. But do it anyway. What's coming up for me this Monday? Beltane, May 1st. is my next to last yearly mammogram. And if it's this one is clean, and the one next year is clean, then I can actually say I have beat cancer. Go me! And also, I am going to be showing up at Foley Square afterwards in late afternoon to support the Writers Guild in their at the May Day rally in Foley Square. Because even though I'm not a member of the WGA, I have friends who are. I understand what their issues are. And it actually revolves around the fact that a lot of your favorite shaped reality shows are now being partially scripted. And the writers who are adding dialogue to this are not getting any screen credit for this. Because, of course, that blows the illusion of a being shaped reality. So I am going to support them. Because as an actor, without the writers, I'm dumb show. I mean, I can improv, but it is really not that easy to talk extemporaneously for an hour. You know, it is difficult. You know, and like I said, the times I haven't had an outline to scroll through to talk about what I want to talk about are the times that I do a lot of hemming and hawing and, oh, here, let's listen to some music. And it doesn't quite work out that long. And according to Variety, so you know the studios make $53 billion. And yet they're hard-pressed to compensate writers equitably because, oh my God, pay, you know, as somebody said in his notes about the United Airlines pilot getting a raise, you know, he feels that the money that the pilots are getting, the raise, is taking food off the table for the shareholders because he described that as the what they get even after that, that's, you know, as leftovers, like, you know, it's, and it's why, you know, stocks rise on news of layoffs because it means the shareholders make more money. They don't give a shit that the company is in trouble, that they have to lay people off to make their bottom line. They just want that money. They don't care. Going to take a bit of a break here, and you're listening to At the Table, you know, the 5:23 happy hour here on netrootsradio.com.
The new American resistance. netrootsradio.com.
And welcome back to the short show where I actually made it through my first segment with stuff without having to trip over my tongue. Maybe, hey, so, you know, having an outline does work, and I hate outlines because not all that good on them. Let's see, what are we starting with here? Oh, yeah, this is awesome. This is awesome. Getting bunked. According to Jake Miller of CBS News today, people may be getting tired of Trump on Twitter. Apparently, he's losing followers. And according to, I'm not keeping really track of that because I don't keep track of that. But according to Mr. Miller, from a new study from digital agency Huge Inc., at the beginning of the administration, this is November 8th, 2016, Prince Breitan generated roughly 206,000 engagements, and now his average tweet generates only 71,000. It's a drop of 66% during the first 100 days. I think that's very telling. People, I've put him on mute, not block, just mute, because after a while you just get tired of it. The whininess. I mean, I'm a whiny person. I will admit that I whine. We all whine. But geez, Louise. The man is just like so entrenched. I mean, I used to think that I was stuck. I had brain lock on things and just couldn't let go of stuff and just harped on it and harped on it and harped on it. And then through some other, and then I got exposed to people that I felt was showing me that I really don't harp on it. Am I like that? Which made me rethink and consider how I blather on and stuff. But this is a man who cannot let go of his past. Everything's if he doesn't get praise, it's all an insult. That's why he calls the media people who do not praise him fake. This is why he wants to dissolve the Ninth District Federal Court because they won't let him do as he pleases. This is the first time in this man's, and I'm using that word loosely, life, in the first time in his life that he has been told firmly and decisively, you are, he thinks, and he said he didn't think it was going to be hard. The president working, I mean, he actually has to work, which tells you the fact that he's saying this is hard, that he didn't think being president was as hard as it has turned out to be, shows you that he's not only ill-prepared for this job, he is ill-prepared for even running his own organization, which, considering the amount of money he loses, is correct. He just, So he has to launder money. He has no choice. He has no choice. He's got to. It's so but getting back to engagement, going on, Miller says engagement with the president tweets began steadily dropping about 3 weeks into his presidency. So the president's total number of followers increased by 40%. The study classified tweets according to a number of characteristics like time of publication, cadence, and voice. The study's authors then compared similar tweets across time. The president's tweet storm on the morning of January 30th about a judge blocking his administration's travel ban, for example, was compared with a tweet storm the morning of April 27 about border security and government funding. The study observed a distinction between some of the more, in quotes, agitated tweets Trump sent, those with a more strident tone, lots of capitalization and exclamation marks, and tweets that were more likely, quote, prepared by his staff, incorporating more social media conventions like hashtags and emojis. The authors found that the number of, quote, prepared tweets has steadily risen. So that means he's no longer really in charge of his own personal Twitter account, which is a good thing because it makes it even more apparent that what he says is part of the permanent White House record. At the outset of the administration, these prepared tweets comprised 15% of the overall feed. Now they're 27% of the feed. So, and the study suggested, and this, thank you, whoever is preparing his tweets, that it's undermining the viral reach. Yes, Somebody finally took his Android away from him. Somebody finally got a hold of his Twitter account. Thank you, whoever that is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Quote, in social media, nothing alienates a core audience faster than an inauthentic voice, the authors wrote. Watering down the president's Twitter account with static and predictable prepared tweets has chipped away at its authenticity, giving its fans and followers a license to look away. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're just awesome. 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 You know, so he's like cut back. So his tweeting has cut back from 40 tweets per week to 10 hopefully that probably also means that he's actually had to kind of focus on whatever. And what we as Americans forget is that it's the Congress that runs the nation, not the president. Article 1 of the United States Constitution states that plain and clearly. Oh my God! Where is my Crockett Constitution? Oh no! Where did it go? Oh no! 4 copies of the Constitution from C-SPAN, and I can't find a single one of them near my desk. Anyway, if you go up to lawcornell.edu, they've got the Constitution up there, and you can, like, read up on Article 1, the duties of the Congress, and Article 2 is on the duties of the President. And they spell it out very, very clearly. You'll also find in Article 2 the section on domestic emoluments, which everybody seems to overlook. So not only is the President forbidden to accept gifts from foreign entities, he's also forbidden to accept money from gifts from Americans because of the influence that could be. In other words, they spell it out very, very plainly that the president cannot be bribed. He's not allowed to accept gifts. It is all there. But, you know, he's Donald Trump. He's never played by any sort of ethical rule at all. I get the feeling that if he had the opportunity, and I don't have the feeling, I know that if he had the opportunity, he would like to throw the switch, drop the cyanide, and inject the cocktail, because he's just as sociopathic as his older brats. And what was interesting, speaking of brats, older kids, and I'm only referring to Donald and Eric, the first two, the first two children, the first two male children. He doesn't talk about, you know, when he talked about his sons, he never mentioned Baron. So evidently he's not very fond of his latest of his third son, which is sad. I have the feeling that none of his children love him because he's had to buy them. Yeah. And you never hear from Tiffany because she can't be bought. And more power to you, Tiffany Maples. And so, going on to that. So, going on with this article about Trump's losing followers, and is that they also break down the list of his of the most tweeted words, handles, hashtags. Number 1 is great. Number 10 is country. Most tweeted hashtags, of course, MAGA ads. 5th is Obamacare. And on, let's see, what date is, what was this written? Ah, this was written today. And so I'm also going to plug the end of this. So tomorrow, April 30th, John Dickerson's interview with President Trump, he's taping at the White House and in Harrisburg today, the 29th of April, to sell it to... So just tune in because it's going to be batshit fun. Speaking of batshit fun and being in Pennsylvania today, the Donald, I am not even going to honor him with that because that is a honorific that I will only accord to real leaders. And he's not clan leaders. He's in a camp someplace or other. I'm sorry, you folks. I can't remember the name of your city in Pennsylvania. But this is in prelude to his la 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 la. I'm not listening to you. White House correspondence dinner, la 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 la. But you know he's going to have somebody in the back transcribing the jokes about him, so he can fire them off. He's probably already signed it. A trade bill at a shovel factory. I find the symbolism of that remarkable. Because we know shovels are used for digging holes, for filling in holes, for shoveling excrement, and other waste products. So we've got that all going on. And so we got, you know, it's... And unlike a lot of other progressives, I do have some sympathy for the people who continually vote against their own self-interests, only because they do so because they are Pollyanna-ish. They believe that it will be better for them if they vote for X, Y, or Z. And you have a lot of people, especially coal miners today, are now discovering that they were had. People in the Rust Belt are discovering they've been had. And again, I think the best thing for Detroit would to focus on becoming a tech hub. There is so much raw talent and energy and people hungry for that work. Young people and middle-aged people. I'm 62, and I'm teaching myself Python. And Swift, which is an Apple's coding language. And it's not easy. I'm not only brain injured, but I am actually learning disabled in mathematics. So sometimes I just can't grasp concepts, and it just takes a long time for me to grasp it. And with the brain injury, having memory, short-term memory issues, I have to keep going at it. And doing it, and doing it, and doing it. And I finally decided as well to dive into Ableton Live, and I'm doing a course through Coursera, which is an introductory course. I'm doing it as an auditor. I might pay for it to get the certificate of completion. And it has a huge frickin' learning curve, but I'm learning how to do something new, creating new neural pathways, keeping my brain active to ward off the symptoms of dotage as I get closer and closer to whatever retirement age, allegedly, I have. And yay me, I am getting I start getting Social Security next month. That's, early retirement. Doesn't mean I'm going to get a lot. I'm continuing working because Social Security was not intended to be what you lived off of. It was designed to help you with a cushion. And But anyway, going back to this, going back to like, you know, our it's you know, going back to shoveling shit. Trade bill is you know, buy American, make a, you know, hire American, buy American. Yet, Trump will only hire H2B visa holders from Eastern Europe to work at Mar-a-Lago, seasonal. Hey, Mr. Trump, I may not like you as president, but, you know, I will fucking work a seasonal job. But then again, you can't hold my, you cannot, you know, you won't be able to rob me of, well, you could try. But, you know, I will work seasonally. I've worked seasonally. The part-time job that I have is seasonal. I work, you know, and right now I'm on hiatus from that job. I go back to work on the 16th of June. And so I'll do it. I will aerate your fucking golf course because I've done that work. I've aerated golf. I mean, I've done a whole lot of stuff. But by bringing in guest workers, you can actually pay them less. That is why tech companies love bringing in H-1B visa holders, because they don't have to pay them the same rate as an American IT professional. India loves it because they get to, you know, other people around the world love coming to America for their training, because then they take their, you know, training back and, you know, they're you know. And unless you're starting your own business, it's which is really tough, really really difficult. Buy American. You know, the Trumps need to start making their shoddy clothing in America. They won't have to raise the price of it. They can keep it as it is, pay a decent wage to American garment workers. And have a better quality product. But they won't do it because they like the idea of paying people $1 an hour so they can turn around and sell their shoddy-ass merchandise for several hundred to several thousand. And so, which is why Mr. Trump is avoiding the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Everybody is like so appalled at it, but it's not the first time a president has said, I'm not going to go there. But we all know that this man has no sense of humor regarding himself. He's very thin-skinned regarding that. And so he's holding his own cult encounter in Harrisburg, where he can bask in the glory of his past win, you know, where he can have the electoral, you know, boast once more about how he beat Hillary Clinton in the Electoral College. And speaking of that, he apparently asked the New York Times or the Washington Post in his interview yesterday to run the electoral map on their front page. You know, okay, dokie. You know, and he's going to be doing his, you know, USA, USA, don't listen to those people making fun of me. They're fake, phony frauds. I gotta, you know, the only thing to say to you, Mr. Trump, is...
No, you're doing it all wrong.
That's it. You're doing it all wrong. If you have to have that, you know, if you have to be at rallies and having people adore you in well-controlled circumstances, you're doing it wrong, man. You're doing it wrong. And you're listening to the 523 Happy Hour here on NetRageRadio.com. We're simulcasting this to Spreaker as well, because I can. La-da-da-da-da-da. And now, some music.
Baseball man had the fever and had it bad. Just to report. Saturday her young beau called to see if she'd like to go to see a show. But Miss Pig said no. I'll tell you what you can do. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. Katie, Katie saw all the game, knew the players by their first name, told the umpire he was wrong all along, good and strong. When the score was just 2-2, Katie, Katie knew what to do. So just to cheer up the boys, she knew, she made the gang sing this song. Take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back, so let's root, root, root for the whole team. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Powered by UnityNet. You are listening to NetRootsRadio.com. We are Resistance Radio.
Everybody has now heard about, if you haven't heard about the Fyre Festival, where have you been hiding? The Fyre Festival was, it's hard to digest. It was supposed to be a major, you know, festival event for, you know, millennials with cash to burn, and tickets went from $1,200 on all the way up to, an incredibly, you know, six-figure amount for the VIPs on Exuma Island in the Bahamas. And apparently what happened is a bunch of people paid their monies. They went and discovered that it was a total clusterfuck. The only way to describe it, it's about the only way to describe it, you need to find the hashtag, the Twitter hashtag, Fyre Festival, and that's F-Y-R-E Festival. And it was co-produced by Ja Rule and this other guy who apparently has a history of cluster fucking and poor planning on festivals. But people got there, they paid their money, the boat, you know, there was all this hype about yachts, VIP, gourmet food, models, beautiful women, you know, beautiful men, why do I want a beautiful man, I want a beautiful man, show us some beautiful men, you know, bastards. Anyway, people arrived on the island, they arrived to find that their glamorous camping tents were, it's been described as a FEMA camp, as, you know, emergency, you know, like, you know, and so on, and the catered food was like cheese sandwiches, If you had $14, you could buy yourself alcohol, no beer. If you had one of the VIP bands, it was free. And a lot of people were, you know, pissed off that they had spent all this money. Some people who couldn't afford it, spending every last cent they had to go there. The more fool you. One person even going as far as saying they're bankrupting themselves. And apparently this tweet was deleted by Ja Rule. But this was tweeted yesterday morning at 10:30 a.m. And this is from his validated account. And this came from Bucci Main's Twitter feed. That's where I found it as a retweet. And it's with a screen cap. And it's, it says Ja Rule, and it's the verified account. And he's never come out and said, my account was hacked. But this is what he says. Thank you all for participating in the Fyre Festival social experiment, where we exposed hundreds of millennials who have never experienced true adversity, the hardships facing refugees in foreign countries. This was an eye-opening experience for many of us, and we walk away from this event with a new perspective of the human condition. So, of course, later on, this tweet was deleted. And Ja Rule went on to say that, it wasn't my fault, but he hashtags it with no refunds. A lot of people got, people who voted for Trump got bunked, and people who spent all of their money got punked. And these people were complaining, you know, that, you know, they were living in the same conditions as Haitians after a major hurricane, in tent cities with crappy food, no security, nothing. And they were like, you know, and of course, Kylie Jenner, the model, who was, you know, and Bella Hadid, who were both, you know, part of the, you know, the models that were involved in this. I guess she had to, like, wipe everybody's mind, distract people from the clusterfuck that the Fyre Festival was. And post a picture of her topless. Again, showing that, you know, it's like more power to her, you know, but still doesn't, but did you get paid? Did you get your money? Blink 82 pulled out because they claimed they weren't paid. There we are. There we go here. Fyre Festival. You know, and everybody, you know, on the news was only talking about the disaster that it was, not, you know, that this could have been, like, you know, that nobody apparently learned a lesson from the deprivation. They were also apparently trying to get off the island, were locked in to the at the airport. They couldn't leave the area. So this, you know, and they were complaining about that. You know, so it's, wow, I don't really believe this, I mean, on the line, the lineup for the Fyre Festival was Blink 182, Major Lazer, Migos, and, you know, yeah, for between, the ticket prices, the price of admission was between $1,000 and $250,000. People actually spent $250,000, one quarter of $1 million, to attend this event. And they were promised a decadent weekend of hobnobbing with influencers, eating gourmet food, and swimming around in the ocean. Instead, they were treated to, what it was like to be a refugee. Luggage being thrown from the back of a truck, in the middle of the night, sandwiches, halfway set up tents, you know, and they're all trying to figure out what went wrong, but they're all missing the point. Ja Rule said it in that now vanished tweet that lives on forever on the internet as a screen grab. It was a social experiment. A social experiment. We need more social experiments like that to get people to understand, how other people exist with dire needs. I mean, just like I said, just go and find the Fyre Festival hashtag on Twitter, and there are people, you know, can't feel sorry for these people. I really can't. In the 1970s, we were called the Me Generation. You know, all hedonism and peacock feather massages and the hot tubs in Marin County, California, you know. But damn, this got us beat. Yeah, so, you know. It's like, I'm gonna play yous a little bit more music, because I just like frickin' feel like it. What can I do here? Blame Canada. Maybe not. I don't know. I have probably played this once too often, but this is for all those frustrated people out there.
What's the big idea bashing me on the noggin with a rolling pin? Clunk enough, people, and we'll have a nation of lumpheads.
Yep, nation of lumpheads. That's what Donald Trump is going to be speaking to tonight while we're at Nerd Prom. And also, if you're torn between Nerd Prom and Trump, there's always Samantha Bee's Not the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is airing at 10 p.m. tonight. And you can also, later on, tune in to the Roundhouse Power Hour at midnight here on Netroots Radio Together. And just going to leave, and we're on our way out here, so.
Hi, it's Tom. Could we humbly suggest your donation to netrootsradio.com? All we've got to run this 24-hour powerhouse of progressive resistance radio is what comes out of our own wallets. And you. You are our biggest donor. It doesn't take much. $3, $5. Just go to the bottom of our netrootsradio.com page and hit our secure donate button. Heck, you can even make a recurring contribution, and you'll get a wondiferous pair of Netroots Radio stickers for application to your backpack, your bumper sticker, or your banjo. Well, it's up to you which backpack you want to put it on. So donate what you'd like at the bottom of our netrootsradio.com's homepage. Because you are our biggest donor. Netrootsradio.com. Together, we are Resistance Radio.
And we are. The fact that we haven't, you know, stood down and shut up and fallen into line as people believe we should, as our fellow Americans believe we should. We, and this is not just for progressives and Democrats and moderates, but there's a lot of Republicans who are deeply disturbed by this administration, who are standing with us, and we need to recognize the fact that not every single person standing up for our country, our laws, our Constitution, our fellow Americans, whether they are here documented or not, that they are contributing members of our society. The undocumented immigrant, be they from Mexico, Central America, South America, or Europeans who have overstayed their visas, they're working. Even if they got it with the, and they got a fake Social Security number, they're paying taxes. They're not getting any social services because they can't. They can't vote because they can't prove citizenship, like birth certificate. You know, Real ID Act of 2005. So, at some point in our nation's history, up until Ellis Island, I would say, everybody came here who came here was undocumented. First Nations people would say we're all illegal immigrants. But we have to remember that we are Americans, and the whole idea of America is open arms and welcoming the stranger, the person fleeing persecution. So we have to remember that. And just, you know, I was going to do a whole spiel today on the hypocrisy of those Christians who look at natural disasters and claim it is God's punishment for X, Y, or Z, yet right in the middle of the Bible Belt, the Southeast, you know, the Midwest and the South, the very, very, the Bible Belt itself is under deluge right now. Severe weather, and growing up as a kid, I don't remember ever hearing about weather this severe. And yet they're not saying anything about God punishing them for taking lives, for not caring for their fellows. And I'm out of here.
Thank you for listening to At the Table. Now stay tuned to Katie Speaks with Katie Klaubisch here on NetrootsRadio.com.
See you tonight.